Hello, this is Tanya Choa. I'm the choir conductor at Holy Transfiguration Orthodox Church in Pearl River, New York. The Diocesan Commission on Liturgical Music has asked me to develop and present a series of three short podcasts on Orthodox liturgical singing based on my background and experience. I've been the choir conductor at Holy Transfiguration Church for 29 years, starting when I was still in high school. In the course of that time, I've worked with five rectors, each with a different background in music and liturgics. Our parish is small, and I've had to work hard over the years to recruit and develop singers for our choir. I have a BA in music from SUNY Albany. I'm a graduate of the Summer School of Liturgical Music, a part of Holy Trinity Seminary in Jordanville, New York, and studied conducting with David Drillock and Helen Erickson at St. Vladimir's Seminary in Crestwood, New York. I sing with the Holy Myrrhburgers Women's Choir, as well as the Spirit of Orthodoxy Choir. This is the first podcast in the series. The title is one that I think all choir conductors can identify with, Working with What You've Got. I will be speaking today with the choir conductor in mind, presuming some knowledge of music theory. It may also be helpful for church singers, especially hearing the interspersed examples. I welcome your feedback. You can send comments to the diocese by email, nynjmusic@aol.com. Many parish choirs have a somewhat predictable group of 5 to 15 singers that come for Sunday Divine Liturgy. These parish choirs can successfully sing on Sunday with this group of 5 to 15, with at least 3 voice parts covered. But what happens on Saturday night for Great Vespers or Vigil? These same parish choirs that will have 5 to 15 singers on Sunday morning might only have 1 to 6 singers and fewer voice parts being covered on a Saturday night. How can a choir conductor lead the parish choir on Saturday night when only 3 altos and a bass have shown up? In this episode of Working with What You've Got, I will be discussing how the choir conductor can take typical chant-based music written for 4 voice parts and revoice it so that the Saturday night singers can sing it. First, let's speak about what it means to revoice. Most literally, it means to voice again. In terms of singing Orthodox Church music, it means taking an existing piece of music and resetting it for a different range of voices. For example, taking a 4-part piece written for mixed choir, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and resetting it for women's choir, soprano 1 and 2, alto 1 and 2, or male choir, tenor 1 and 2, baritone and bass. And the other way, women's choir or male choir, reset for mixed choir. The revoicing or rearranging that I will speak about today is taking your typical 4-part mixed choir piece and making it singable for 3 parts or 2 parts, pointing out how parts can be reassigned and left out while still maintaining harmonic structure. In much of Russian Orthodox chant-based music, the musical structure of the piece is the melody, the third above the melody, the bass, and the filler. When music is written out for 4-part mixed choir, the melody typically is in one of 2 places, either the alto or the soprano. The filler part is typically either in the tenor or the alto, and the bass is, well, the bass. In the case that the alto has the melody, the soprano will have the third above, the tenor will have the filler, and the bass will have the bass. I have a musical example for you to listen to. St. Simeon's Prayer, set to Stihira Tone 6, Common Chant. Listen for the alto singing the melody.
Lord, now let us let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for none has seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.
In the case that the soprano has the melody, the tenor will have the third above, the alto will have the filler, and the bass, well, he's still singing bass. In this example, you will hear an excerpt of Blessed is the Man, the first kathisma from Great Vespers, set to Stihira Tone 8 Key of Enchant, arranged by Boris Lutkovsky. Listen for the melody in the soprano.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Sometimes it may be tricky to hear where the melody is just by listening, but it is generally easy to pick out which way the music has been structured by looking at it. The parallel movement will either be happening all in the treble staff with the soprano and the alto, or with the soprano and the tenor and the alto between them as a filler. Now, a word about the filler. Speaking as a lifelong alto who has sung plenty of filler in her life, one should not feel diminished when this is his or her role. When one hears this word, filler, it doesn't sound particularly glamorous, similar to fillers used in cold cuts, perhaps. I prefer to liken it more to wood filler, spread thinly on the surface to fill in holes and cracks. It dries smooth and hard, making the surface ready for finishing. The filler part, in our case, does exactly that. It is the stabilizing glue that takes the sound beyond the sum of its parts. Before presenting this concept to the choir during a rehearsal, it's important for the choir conductor to spend some time working with the pieces of music that are possible candidates for revoicing. Taking the time to pick apart the music and redigest the voice parts in this new light on one's own will go a long way in helping singers understand their new roles in these pieces. Going from four voices to three voices. The most common way to shift singing a four-part piece into three voices is to sing the melody, the third above the melody, and the bass, leaving out the filler. Most of the time, this is the best way to revoice the piece. In this next musical example, you will hear two clips of an excerpt from the Sunday Resurrectional Troparion Tone 1, Common Chant. The first clip is mixed choir, and the second is women's choir.
When the storm had been sealed by the Jews, while the soldiers were guarding them with pure body, thou didst rise on the third day, O Savior, granting life to the world. When the storm had been sealed by the Jews, while the soldiers were guarding them with pure body,
you'll notice that these two clips are not sung in the same key. The four-part rendition is comfortably set in the ranges of the singers, nothing too high, nothing too low. When you take that same piece of music and have three women sing it, by shifting what was the tenor part now above the soprano part, it becomes too high for the woman singing the top voice. The solution: pitch the piece down a bit to suit your singers. In this case, the original four-part setting is in G major, and the three-part setting, shifted down by a major third, is in E flat major. We've just heard one way to revoice from four to three voices. Although that way works best most of the time, in some cases, though, I prefer to revoice from four to three voices with the third above, the bass, and the filler, leaving out the melody. This seems counterintuitive, but it works especially well if you are singing something without melodic movement or non-melismatic. Without melodic movement, it is better to strive for a more complete chord. A good example of this is a plain litany. In the four-part version, the melody is in the alto. So, as is typical then, the soprano has the third above, the tenor the filler, and the bass is the bass. The soprano, alto, and bass each only have two notes, and the tenor only one note. But the tenor just having one note while the soprano and bass each have two notes, sometimes going in opposite direction, creates the most harmonically balanced situation and consequently the easiest to keep in tune. In this next musical example, you will hear three clips of an excerpt from the Great Litany sung in plain chant. The clips will be first, mixed choir, then women's choir, and lastly, male choir.
Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, to thee, O Lord. Lord have mercy,
case, the mixed choir clip was in F sharp major, the women's choir clip was in E flat major, and the male choir clip was in B flat major. Now let's discuss four voices to two voices. When taking a four-part piece and shifting to two, I found two ways that work well. If you have two people in the same register singing, that is, two women or two men, then typically the best choice is to use melody and bass. This will create contrary motion, that is, one voice part with notes ascending at the same moment the other voice part with notes descending, combined with moments of unison which makes for the best sound. If you have two people of different registers, one man and one woman, then the best solution is typically to use the third above the melody and the bass. These two cases are not hard and fast. If you're working with two people of the same voice part, or one tenor and one alto, you may be limited by the vocal range of your singers, bringing you back to the first solution, melody plus bass. This next musical example is actually from Divine Liturgy, from the Communion of the Faithful. An excerpt of Receive the Body of Christ, Moscow Chant, arranged by Michael Fortunato. First, mixed choir, then two-voice women's choir. In this case, the mixed choir clip was in F sharp major, and the women's choir clip was in E flat major. When trying to decide on a key for the revoiced piece, one needs to keep the singers in mind. Who will be singing the new rendition? Women? Men? only sopranos? Only basses? Two altos and a baritone? In order to determine the key, the choir conductor needs to look at each voice part on the page, one at a time, and determine the highest and lowest notes for each part. The next step is to consider who will be singing which parts and the specific vocal range of each singer. With these two sets of information, now we match the people to the parts on the page. Some of this consideration of key can and should happen without the choir present, while the choir conductor is picking apart the music in preparation for the rehearsal. But, as we are well aware of what happens to the best laid plans, some of this work will need to be trial and error during rehearsal. Speaking of the best laid plans, we come to difficulties with revoicing. For some people, changing voice parts is not a problem. For many, it's difficult. It's something new, so practice will help. Oftentimes, the most difficult part shift, even if kept comfortably in the singer's range, is having a woman sing the bass part. An alto is typically comfortable singing the melody or the filler and can typically switch between alto and tenor and sometimes between alto and soprano, but very rarely has she been asked to sing the bass part in her range. This requires practice. Given some time and practice, this should work well, but it will take some time. Another switch that is difficult is having a soprano sing the filler part. Sopranos are not typically used to singing non-melismatic parts. Most of the time, they're singing the melody or the third above the melody. This also can be eased with practice. The next difficult transition is being a tenor and singing the bass part. If you're lucky enough to have a tenor that sang bass in his previous life, then he won't have any trouble. But most tenors haven't had to sing bass. It tends to be easier than teaching an alto to sing bass, but it largely depends on the singer. On the topic of revoicing and working with fewer than four voice parts, St. Tichon's Monastery Press released a book in 2015 called A Common Book of Church Hymns, Divine Liturgy. This 238-page work, compiled and edited by Benedict Sheehan, contains just about all the hymns necessary to sing Divine Liturgy all year, including the hymns that change for the great feasts of the Church, along with hymns from the Lenten Triodion and the Pentecostarian. The book is set entirely in two voices, melody plus bass, with courtesy start notes to indicate pitches for other parts. It is a great, concise resource for every choir and clerus, but indispensable for those with just a few in their choir. This can be tough stuff. If you have singers that have been singing the same voice part and the same pieces for years, it will be difficult to break into a new style of singing. One is creating flexibility where there wasn't flexibility. People may resist. This requires loving patience, time, and a lot of rehearsal. In the end, we're in church for a common goal, to glorify and praise God in the most elevating and edifying way. We hope this short discussion has been helpful. I'd like to thank my singers from Holy Transfiguration Church, Lydia Jelinevsky and John Chan, as well as a fellow choir conductor from St. Mary Magdalene Orthodox Church in New York City, Anastasia Sertsev, for their singing in the musical examples, along with Father Aguman Joseph, the rector of my parish, for graciously allowing us to record these examples at Holy Transfiguration Church. In future podcasts, we plan to discuss learning to stay on pitch and making the most of rehearsals, so keep tuned. We welcome feedback. Address comments to nynjmusic@aol.com.